Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Maybe we should do an episode about death.
Oh, yeah. Big gay death.
LGBT death.
Yeah. How to cope.
We get loads of sponsors for that.
Right.
Hello, Christopher Sweeney.
Hello, Alan.
Alan Cumming calling. Hello. Hello. This is the Catskills in New York calling Bryce Norton.
Come in, Alan Cumming. Come in, Alan Cumming.
Here are the results of the Catskills jury.
Alan, you're wearing a boiler suit. I love it.
I've totally butched it up at this end.
I'm all boiler suit me. Hey, Alan, what happens on Homo Sapiens Extra?
We talk about the reviews we've had, the letters we've had, the emails we've had, and we give away a T-shirt, and we generally just shoot the breeze. Shoot the LGBTQ plus breeze.
Love it. There's something for everyone in there, right?
I'll say. Well, hello, Christopher. I'm enjoying, first of all, on this Zoom call, your haircut, I see.
Look at it go.
It's taken years off you.
Thank you so much. When our hairdresser is called JP, and he comes to your house, and he's one of my favourite people. And when I arrived at the house, he was there before me, and he was standing on our front steps, and he just looked at me and my husband and went, "Oh, my God. God, look at the pair of you."
Not words you want to hear from your hairdresser.
I know, and he's such a mild-mannered man as well. And he said William looked like who's the guy in the doc in Back to the Future?
Oh, the mad professor. That's the look I've been going for. You can see today I've got a little headband on.
Yes,
and I've got my headphones and I've got my glasses. I'm doing everything I can, put everything onto my face and head that I possibly can. It's not just my hair, because it's really gone into a new level of. I'm actually pushing through. I've decided to push through, but
I think it looks great.
It's just a big, huge. It's like those things they get in America where it's a plant and it comes out through little holes and it looks like someone's hair. Do you know what I mean? Do you know those things?
Yes.
So it's little grass comes out of a little ornament thing through these holes, and it looks like an inanimate object is growing here.
Yeah,
that's my look. But I do have.
You've got a boiler suit on.
I have gone into. I've discovered my new look for summer for both my yard gardener sort of pool boy kind of mechanic look, which I find very alluring.
Me too.
Both to myself and to others. And also it's just like you can unzip it. It's easy. And then when you jump in the pool, you can just pop it back on. And you don't have to shut. You don't have to tell yourself. And it's just very, you don't have to wear anything else. You don't get sunburned because most of your body's covered. It's just perfect. I bought two.
Did you?
I bought a grey one and a blue one. And they're sort of got those little elastic bits at the waist. So it's very kind of, you know, trim and slimming. And I'm just obsessed with them. And it was like $32 or something like that.
And is it, what big question for me is it breathable fabric?
Yeah, it's like, it's a cotton or something.
It is cotton.
It's a polyester cotton. It's not a nylon.
Okay, good.
It's breathable. I was out yesterday finishing off making a path to my hammocks with some red coloured mulchy stuff. I made a little, one of those little paths that you see in sort of, you know, suburban garden centres, and I just decided to do it and have a little path going through the woods to my hammock.
Oh, fun.
It's so fun. Jerry loves it. Our little dog Jerry loves it. He likes walking on the path. So that's, and the biggest news for me this week was the arrival of my gifts from Uta, our listener from Germany. I'm holding up right now my tea cozy, which has got a Scottish flag knitted into the neck of it.
It's a beautiful
But the
thing.
Other thing that I got that I didn't, this, look at this. It's a bum bag.
She made you a bum bag.
A fanny pack, as they say in America. With, can you see there's little straps that go on my belt? I put my belt those straps. It's got a zip.
Ugh.
And is it a zip for things? It's a knitted bum bag. And for those of you who don't know, this is in response to the fact that when we interviewed Hannah Gadsby, she promised me she would send me one of her bum bags. Never has, despite my... She obviously doesn't listen to this podcast, despite my constant... And I did some interviews for Australian TV because I'm going to be the artistic director of the Adelaide Cabaret Festival next year. I did some interviews for Australian TV, mentioned this fact on those interviews as well. I'm such a whore. I'm such a whore for a bum bag. But anyway, Uta has sated my bum bag desire for now by sending me this beautiful, beautiful knitted fucking... bum bag. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you, Uta. Thank you.
Thank you, Uta. And it was very sweet. Alan sent me a sort of what I would describe as like a YouTube unboxing video of you receiving the gift.
That's right.
The moment
I was so excited.
It was very, very sweet. Alan, should we have a look at some emails?
Yes. And are these the emails talking about the Patti Smith episode?
They are indeed.
Because I would like to just say something straight up,
please,
up front. I listened to the Patti Smith episode, which I thought was charming. So lovely to hear her. And I would like to apologise because it was, of course, before the fatwa about my eating.
Yes.
And so the chat, obviously we had tea during the thing. That's allowed. I'm having tea now with Uta's tea cozy. But in the chat, which was in my dressing room in London at the Old Vic, when we did that one, I am munching. And I just would like to say that anyone who actually thought I'd reneged on my promise never to eat again, I haven't. Mm. It was just pre-recorded.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'm Alan Cumming and I endorse this message.
So
it's hot in my onesie. I might have to... It's basically a butch onesie what I'm wearing. That's what I think. It's like a...
That's what it is, isn't it?
I'm showing a bit of nipple there. But it's I'm a little hot in it today. It's very hot. But it's like, you know, I love a onesie. I love just wearing one item of clothing for everything. And I actually would like to invent an item of clothing you could wear in bed if you do wear things in bed, which I don't. But I would if I invented this thing. You wear it in bed, you get up, you go to work, you go out for drinks, and you go for dinner. And it's still, it would sort of adapt to... It's basically pajamas I'm talking about, but stylish pajamas.
That's basically what we... Do you remember we came up with a business together where we said we'd do this? We said we'd sell this item of clothing.
Oh, that's because right. What was that?
Oliver
Did we
Spencer,
have a name? No.
Not yet. But Oliver Spencer, the clothing company in London, they kind of do those sort of clothes, like sort of loungewear that I always wear. Like when I'm going on a plane, I'll wear it. So it's sort of like trousers with a shirt, but I'll put like a pocket square in the shirt. So it looks a bit like I'm dressed up, but essentially it's pajamas.
Yeah.
I love that.
I've basically worn, that's what's been great about this pandemic. sorry, it sounds terrible, but one of the flip sides of this terrible thing is that I've basically worn pajamas every day since the middle of March. And you know, before that, I normally wear things that are very comfy and loose and... that are adaptable. And also, you know what? I'm 55 years old. I'm me. I can wear what the fuck I like.
Absolutely.
I once wore a pair. But did I tell you my story? I wore a pair of pajamas to a film premiere in Los Angeles once.
Did you? Alan, who are you wearing?
No, it was terrible. But I was at home and when I was making a film in LA and I had a day off and my friend Cameron said, oh, do you want to come to this? A screening. She said, a screening of my friend's film at the DGA, the Directors Guild, which was on Sunset, round walkable from where I was living. And I was like, all right. So I just was in my pajamas. I had these sort of grey, linen pajamas, sort of charcoal grey. They looked, you know, I tied them up to the neck. For sort of Chairman Mao kind of vibe thing going on.
Nice, okay.
Put my sneakers on. I've been in them all day. Put my sneakers on, popped around. I was thinking it was a screening. When someone says a screening, you do not expect rows of paparazzi in a red carpet. And like, and it was so funny because it's such a long time ago. It was when Hugh Grant and... Elizabeth Hurley were there.
Was she wearing the paper clip dress?
No, this was like, it wasn't their film, so they were going low key. It was somebody else, I can't remember what the film was. And I saw them and he was, it was at the height of all the Four Weddings and a Funeral thing before the prostitute drama.
Yes.
And so there we are. And I turned the corner and they were like, Alan, Alan, Alan. I remember just like being like a rabbit in the headlights thinking, I'm wearing my pajamas. In fact, you know, I you know, you always worry in your pajamas, like that little flap, where you get your willy out. I thought, oh my God, my willy might pop out. Anyway, so I did the whole thing. I didn't tell anyone. People were remarking on my, you know, stylish. He's European. He's so crazy and European. And it wasn't until at the after party I said to someone, I'm wearing my pajamas. I just walked out of the house. I didn't think this was a big posh screening. So, you know, it can be done.
Absolutely can be done. So where were we? What were we talking
Questions,
about?
Questions, emails.
Oh, yeah. What's Patty? In a name? Okay, brace yourself.
Oh.
It's not too bad, but a bit of brace yourself. Oh. Subject heading, what's in a name? A lot. Hello, Alan and Chris. I love your podcast. I was driven to write when Alan correctly picked up that Chris was using England instead of Britain during the Cynthia Nixon podcast. Can I also correct something that does grate on me? America is a continent. The United States of America, USA, US is the country. Using America as a shorthand is something that Americans like myself, I am from Uruguay, makes us feel the same as Alan does when England is being used as a shorthand for Britain. I mean it in the best way possible, but I thought I would share, as there are many millions of us from Canadians down to the southern tip of Argentina, and we definitely do not want to be mistaken as citizens of the US. Ciao for now, Monica.
Got it.
Thank you for the correction.
So maybe we should say the states.
Yeah.
I mean, I just find it's like, or, you know, the US, or maybe I should say the US, or... Anyway, yeah, I get your point, Monica. I totally get it. But yeah, mea culpa.
Well, I think it's mea culpa, isn't it?
Yeah, Chris a culpa.
Or both a culpa. Acapulco.
Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa. I'm liking that behind you is a lamp covered in a white sheet, and it sort of looks like there's a comedy ghost behind you.
Do you want to know what's happening in here?
Yeah.
So these are sheets. These are not sheets. They're curtains that I realized I had from an apartment that I lived in years ago, a massive sort of, one of those sort of basketball court apartments that they have in, like, it's like an apartment that, you know, in movies in New York,
yes,
everybody lives in big, huge lofts.
Like the one like they one had of those. In Ghost.
Exactly. I had one of those for a while when I was in this relationship, and it was, I realized, like, we'd broken up by the time I moved into it, and I realized it was the other person. I mean, I just didn't feel cozy. It was quite good. I could exercise my dog without leaving the house. I just ran around. But
and I got great at basketball.
Yeah. So anyway, I had the curtains for that in here, and I found them and washed them because I'm going to put them up in that little nook over there.
Oh, I see.
And I'm making it into a recording studio because I'm doing all these recording things here. And the last time I did this audiobook, and they said, oh, you know, blah, 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 various things. And then I actually thought, gosh, if I put more better curtains that were more soundproofed and actually did set it up, I could do more of those things.
And then... You can charge.
Oh, charge them a rental.
Yeah. Be like, I've booked a recording studio up the road. I'm just going to head down there now. Well, from my point of view, I'm getting a lot of sort of Great Expectations, Mrs. Havisham, for sort of like a house festooned with white sheets.
I am so close to Miss Havisham. I'm never going to leave this
with
house.
More nipple.
I'm going to be trapped at this age.
In a boiler suit with more nipple.
yes, Miss Havisham with pierced nipples. That's me.
Okay, let's read an email. Patty Smith review. This is John.
Ooh.
Thanks so much for your lovely podcast with Patty Smith this week. I've been a fan of the show from the start, but this was my favourite interview. I think maybe mine too. Patty seemed like such a genuine person. The point she made about not criticising a culture as it evolves resonated so clearly with me. In the past, I've had conversations with my mum where I've definitely been judgmental on different points of history. I can probably think of a better examples, but I remember watching the end of My Fair Lady with her a couple of Christmases ago. The film ending... shows Eliza Doolittle deciding to stay with the arrogant and sexist Henry Higgins. I guess I'd seen it before, but didn't pay too much attention to it. This time, though, I thought it was pretty crappy to supposedly portray this as a happy ending. Maybe I'd had a couple of drinks, maybe, but I remember voicing my distaste quite strongly. My mum made exactly the same point as Patty. I know she was right, but still struggled to accept it. Listening to Patty speak was a reminder of that need for compassion to what has gone before.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's so great. I totally understand that point. And I was just going to say that they did My Fair Lady again recently on Broadway, and I didn't see it, but I know that at the end, she doesn't stay. She walks out. So they changed the ending, made it more of a sort of a, you know, a stronger, well, I guess a feminist, more, you know, that she takes control of her own life and leaves.
Yes.
So that, I thought that was very interesting. And that's the thing about, you know, with these, we do these pieces, these plays and musicals and things from another time, another era, you know, which had different rules, different mores, societal mores. So what do you do? It's like, do you, it's like in Shakespeare as well, you know, there's some things in Shakespeare like so awful. And there's ways around them. There's ways to change them and adapt them and make them, you know, not just throw the baby out with the bathwater. But
yeah, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think what I find is there's a two-lane discussion to be had with things from the past. One, I'm totally fine with, which is let's not go over the top with dissecting the past because it is the past and we need to learn and move forwards. But at the same time, I think what people do a lot is spend quite a lot of time defending the past by saying, well, that's how it was. And I don't find that useful. I find it like, well, that doesn't make it right, you know?
Well, I agree. But then I think there's a danger of not properly representing what the past was like.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I feel. You know, it's like I think, you know, like there's what do you call him, that American writer, Huckleberry Finn, what's his name again?
Oh, I don't know who that I'm.
Oh, you know, it's
I don't know his
Southern
name.
Gentleman.
I'm googling.
He wears a suit. He wore a linen suit. Looked like
Mark
Chekhov,
Twain.
Had a beard. Mark Twain. Mark Twain. You know, in Mark Twain's books are very racist. The N word is used a lot. All these things, and it's sort of sometimes you hear about campaigns people trying to take the book out of schools or else take the word out of the thing. And I actually think you should take the whole thing away if you actually feel like that, rather than altering the text in that way. Because I think it's important to, you know, to look, that's what people thought, that's how people wrote in those days. And I think interestingly in this, you know, since this beginning of June and all the protests and the things since George Floyd's murder, we look at racism, I think, in a completely different way now. We look at history and sort of systemic racism in history. So I think it's an interesting time about that way of looking back at, you know, points in history. And I, you know, obviously this thing about toppling down monuments, like we've made icons of people who were really nasty people. But we have to remember that, you know, these great figures of literature chronicled a time, and it's important for us to remember what that time was like. So I think it's difficult and rocky, but we've got to kind of be patient.
And also maybe it's a case of like the what should be done about that is ask the people who were oppressed or by these texts and these items. It's, you know, maybe it's not for us to decide. Mm-hmm. Well. Shall I do you another email?
Move on.
How's your chefing? Are you feeling chefy? Because we've got a food question, Alan.
Oh, I made a cassoulet last night. I soaked and cooked the cannellini beans myself.
Okay. Drop the mic. Yeah. Here we go. Subject, agony uncles /chefs. Dear Chris and Alan, I've never been particularly adventurous in the kitchen. 4 months into lockdown, I am now spectacularly bored of my own cooking and have exhausted my mental Rolodex of quick and easy recipes. Do you have any favourite meals of your own that you've been relying on for nutrition, comfort and distraction from the hot mess that is 2020? I'd be very grateful for any recommendations.
Okay, first of all, beans.
Hang on one sec.
Oh, what?
I'm particularly partial to everything except peppers and mayonnaise. I despise more than Alan despises the word brunch. So peppers and mayonnaise to be avoided, Alan. Have you got a recommendation?
Oh, well, that narrows it down. No, I do. I think beans.
Your pepper mayonnaise
beans.
Surprise.
I'm all for, like, last night I made this cassoulet. I may actually soak the beans and cook them. You don't need to do that. You can get them out of tins. Don't buy Goya, though.
No way.
Do you know this whole thing about the Trump. Ridiculous, insane. Even just for the fact that the president and the people who are advisors to the president are breaking the ethics laws by advertising a product, let alone the fact that this man
revolting.
Vaunted and just said all these, you know, glorious things about this awful, awful person. Anyway, buy another brand other than Goya. And anyway, you know, chickpeas, red kidney beans, black beans, you know, white beans, whatever. They're so full of protein, they're delicious, and you can pop them in things and they soak up the flavour. I think beans are the way ahead, especially if you're a non-carnivore. And the other secret ingredient, and then just put, you know, put some tomato sauce, vegetables, fry. First of all, here you go. Onion and garlic, chop up, fry. Then add like celery, carrots, whatever you've got. My latest thing that I've just found to be an incredible, gives a little taste, and you wouldn't, it's rhubarb. Bit of old rhubarb in the fridge.
Oh,
chop it up and put it in with your onions and your garlic and everything. And
what?
It gives a nice flavour. It breaks down. It's just, it's a game changer.
In a savoury dish?
In a savoury dish. I looked it up on a thing. I made a chickpea and rhubarb something the other day, and I've just been bunging it into things. Put it in the cassoulet last night.
Lovely.
And taste. And also, I would always say, if in doubt, here's the thing, nutritional yeast. It's obviously nutritional and yeasty, and it tastes delicious. And it's also, it pips up any old boring thing.
God.
And soy sauce, that's the other thing. I just shove soy sauce now.
Oh, and Worcester sauce.
Worcestershire, but you know Worcestershire sauce. Is not vegetarian.
Is it not?
It's got anchovy. It's got anchovy paste in it. So you have to be careful. There's a veg. You can get vegan kind, but it's not Leon Perrins.
Interesting.
I'm talking loads of brands. Maybe they'll like to sponsor our next season.
Just call 0800 Homo Sapiens if you'd like to sponsor, and Alan will answer. Lala will answer.
I'll be there.
Hello, Homo Sapiens. Yeah, anchovies are not vegan, obviously, but they seem to be the secret weapon that is in everything. I've been doing loads of casseroles as well. I've been doing, trying to cook for the week. So, because when it's been sunny, I just chop up loads of vegetables and do them on the barbecue, which I love,
yes.
Then put them in with a salad. And then there's this guy, if you're feeling void of inspiration, there's a guy who has an Instagram account who called A Salad Every Day or something. And he shows you what he makes for lunch every day. And it's always like a salad with loads of different ideas. And that, I think, is nice when we're all stuck at home. Because I find food a bit uninspiring if I'm stuck at home for
do
the
you?
Week. I do. I need inspiration is what I'm trying to say.
Right. I sort of just go the whole day. It's interesting. I've realised this thing about writing and about food that I have got into a pattern where I was feeling guilty that, you know, after dinner, have a couple of drinks, think, oh, I'm not writing now, watch something or, you know, but actually, so we have dinner later now and I write for a few hours in the afternoon or something.
Oh, really?
But the rest of the day, I'm mulling what I'm going to write, what's next, what's, you know, sort of spend a lot of time thinking as I'm doing other things and with food as well. So I think, oh, what have we got? Oh, maybe, and then something kind of permeates in my mind and I make up stuff. So, and then I think, you know, you get to, you think, oh, I've done that sort of version of things for a while, time to move on. How about we go in the sort of the grated ginger and coconut milk vibe?
Absolutely.
You know?
Curries.
Go over, yes, mix and match. But I think you should just let things mull. And also just keep putting your spoon in and having a taste and, you know, don't get too anal about it.
My mum said to my husband, apparently, she said, oh, will you try this while she was cooking? And he was like, why don't you try it? And she was like, oh, I don't try my food. And he was like, why not? And she said, because what if it's horrible? It's like,
my God.
Then you make it nicer. It was definitely my mother in a nutshell.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So another one, kindness and happiness is the subject of this email. Hello, Chris and Alan.
That's nice.
I love you. Thank you for another fab podcast. I just wanted to thank Alan for what he said a few weeks ago about choosing happiness even in dark times. Also his comments about not breeding, being, breed supremacists when acquiring a pet and adopting from a shelter. Re-kindness. Wasn't Patti Smith's mum an angel? I had a very kind, welcoming grandma in the end. Kindness and love is what's most important and what we remember people by.
Oh, that's so true. Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, and then she goes on. Sorry. Hey, Chris.
That's nice of you to say.
Oh, my God. That's an Alexa.
Your Alexa wanting... just talks without being asked to.
Okay. Here's number counter. One. Would you like to rate number counter?
What? She's counting and asking me to rate it. Alexa, stop.
Stop it, Alexa. Wishing you both love and good health. On the email from the woman about the recipe with her pronouns, she, her, she is asexual. So carrying on in this email about kindness and happiness. Hey, Chris, great idea about interviewing Harry Styles. I mean, how did I think of that? I love him, so please ask him. You never know.
Have we asked him?
We have. We've written to him.
Has he said yes?
We haven't heard back yet. What's he doing? Is he busy? I love him. So please ask him. You never know. He's inspired our welfare campaign, Treat Rabbits with Kindness. And then the website is bunny.org.uk. I haven't checked that website. And hopefully it is actually a real website, not, you know, bunnies being murdered or something. No, I've clicked on it. There is literally pictures of bunnies. How sweet.
Oh, that's so nice.
Isn't it? Yes. Have you seen Harry Styles has grown a moustache?
No. Gosh.
Can I ask you a question? You might have a theory on this.
Mm-hmm.
So often when gay men come out, they then grow a moustache.
Oh, do they?
I've noticed it with so many people. And can I tell you my theory around it?
Yes, quickly before the Spitfires bomb us.
Can you hear that?
Yes, I can hear that.
It's so weird. I think I don't hear them anymore. I think that maybe not so much today, but in the past, being not straight, so that doesn't have to be gay, it can be anything on the queer spectrum, it makes you have a bit of like dysphoria with your masculinity because you feel like you're not fitting into the slots.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But then once you kind of work out what you are, you start to play with your masculinity, and a moustache is like this kind of, there's something quite hyper-masculine about them.
Right. Yes, I see. That's interesting. It's like me in my overalls.
Well, yeah, that weirdly, that's what kind of compounded me to say it, because I love overalls as well. And I think there's something in that as well. It's like playing with drag of like hyper-masculine outfits.
Yeah. I'm like kind of being a drag king right now.
Yeah.
But then I've got my little headband on.
Would you like it if now I moved my microphone down and you saw that I had a huge moustache?
My God, I'm so worried what you're going to say there on so many levels. I think that's interesting. I didn't notice this thing of men, but when you think about it, like the sort of the moustache, I mean, we talk about it like a porn star moustache, we say that, which of course we mean really a gay porn star moustache.
Yes.
And recently, a few years ago, I was at the Toronto Film Festival, and for some reason I shaved off what a beard I had, and I kept a sort of a, you know, a U-bend moustache that went down from my chin up to the other, like a sort of a, like the McDonald's logo. And holy shit, it was a bad idea. And I just, there's all these photos there. And also I think because of the colour of the suit, I was wearing a sort of reddish, maroonish tartan suit or something. Plum. Anyway, shut up, let it go, Alan. And I think that exacerbated the colour of my, the palette of the, my, it looked like I had a red porn star moustache. Oh. It was horrible. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. But yeah, I get it. I actually think, you know, I think it's kind of, that's why I really want to have a hairy chest. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not that I actually don't have issues with my masculinity. I've actually been writing about my sexuality and stuff in my new book, and thinking about how weird it was for me, like age 33, to suddenly be objectified sexually in when I did Cabaret the first time on Broadway, and it being on a big scale, and, you know, pictures of me sort of semi-naked everywhere and all that stuff. Mm. And I think it was actually, in a funny way, I felt very comfortable with myself. And I think I always think what turns me on is people who are really comfortable with their bodies, regardless of what the body is actually.
Yeah.
And sometimes when people are too overly self-conscious, and that's why I think, you know, those six packs things, they look like a lobster to me. I think they look like a lobster or a brain. And I mean, they can be very attractive, but often they look like, oh, I don't know who you are, this body. You're just like a head on top of this sort of body you've ordered from the gym. Anyway,
yeah, slotting into everyone else's idea of what you should be, not your your own.
And like, so I don't. I mean, this thing about my hairy chest is I just wish it would grow more together, so that would be.
Have you considered a merkin?
No, I haven't. I kind of trim it judiciously because it just doesn't. It's not even symmetrical.
I used to be horrified by having body hair. It used to freak me out, and this is when I was much, much younger. But now I'm over it. I should be by now.
Obviously, yeah.
Look at me.
I love a hairy chest. I think they're great. And I think, one of the other things I'm writing about is my armpit hair became the focus of just huge attention and sort of in gossip columns. Yeah, because you remember when I was in Cabaret, do you remember that picture of me? I've got my hand over my head.
Yes.
That was sort of a dance move, and it just became, that's the picture you always saw of me. So you saw my armpit hair, and I've got quite bushy armpit hairs here. And, you know, I think they're my armpits, so it's fine. What's wrong with them? But people were in America then, especially, were horrified. I just don't think you saw people's armpit hair, and they didn't flaunt it at you like that. And also, you know, a lot of it. And I remember even just recently, like a couple of years ago, I was promoting something. And you know Terry Gross on NPR, she's a show called Fresh Air. She's this very good interviewer person. She gets, you know, she's really good. I've been interviewed by her a couple of times. I've never actually met her, though. It's always been down the line. Anyway, I think the last time I did it, she was talking about various things in my career, mentioning Cabaret and blah, blah, blah. And it may have been when I was doing it again, actually, a few years ago. And she said, she was going on and on about, I actually had to say, Terry, you've got to stop talking about my armpits now. I've got to move on.
Really?
I mean, can you imagine us actually saying that to someone?
Do you remember when Julia Roberts went to a premiere with armpit hair and the world lost their mind?
Loved that.
Yeah. Let's do a quick wormhole of the week, shall we, Alan?
You go first.
Okay, so I wrote mine down. So it all started on Grand Designs.
Uh-huh.
And it ended...
TV show.
The TV show Grand Designs, which is about people building houses, like dream houses. And it ended on videos of things that don't look like cake, but actually are cake.
Okay.
So it started
pray tell.
I'm watching Grand Designs.
Yeah.
They're building an amazing house. And the reference for their house was Ferris Bueller's friend's house in Ferris Bueller's day off.
Oh.
So I Googled it. And of course, it takes me. So the only thing that I could find, not the only thing, one of the things I could find was an article about these people from Grand Designs in the Daily Mail. So with trepidation, I have to admit, I went onto the Daily Mail website.
Oh, God.
Dun, dun,
it's like, dun. Like the what do you call it? The deep state.
Yeah, the seventh circle of hell, where I lost 4 days, which took me to the sidebar of shame, where I was alerted to Kylie Minogue's new single.
Oh, it's good. I listened to that.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Where I was also alerted to the fact that Kylie has joined TikTok. I had to go to TikTok. So then I was like, So I sort of have had TikTok and then I deleted it because it's like, I'm just not going to do a choreographed dance for anybody. And then I went on to TikTok, saw Kylie's profile. Then I ended up on Anton Deck's profile. Don't ask me how, which then I discovered the big thing on TikTok is videos of people cutting things that look completely photorealistic. Like it looks like a cannonball, but they cut through it and actually it's cake. This is the big thing on TikTok.
Oh my God.
And yeah, came to an hour and a half later and that was a good use of my day, wasn't it?
God. I mean, I know I sound like an old granddad now, but I don't really get TikTok. I think, gosh, how many things do we need? Couldn't you just do the same thing on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook that you do on TikTok? What's the deal?
I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin, but what I do like about it, which I think has been really nice, maybe partly because of lockdown, is I think it's
nice things.
It's really shared. Yeah, like it's really nice, funny, shared things. And people are very, very funny on it.
So people don't put up like, here, register to vote, or there's a demonstration about Black Lives Matter. And it's not like that. It's not used as a social media tool.
I don't think there's a lot of activism on it, but I could be wrong. Because all I've seen is Kylie's profile. She didn't say anything. But it's very like... People find
Anton Deck aren't
Anton Deck's videos weren't great. They were trying to be TikTok and clearly didn't understand it, is what would be my assessment.
Okay.
That's mean though, I take that back. What was your wormhole?
My wormhole, well, it was kind of sad.
Oh.
Because this week, well, a few weeks ago, this great Scottish star called Johnny Beattie died.
Oh.
And such a darling. And I like, he was this amazing sort of, you know, sort of variety star and an actor as well, in latterly. And I knew him, his wife for a while used to be my agent in Scotland when I was a baby actor.
Oh.
One of his daughters, Louise, was the same year as me at drama school. And now she's a proculator fiscal. Look at that.
What's that?
It's like district attorney in America, I think.
Whoa, okay.
I don't know what you'd call it in England.
Did you say America or USA? I can't remember.
I said America. Shit, sorry, the States.
The States.
USA, USA, USA. Yes. Anyway, so that's Louise. And Maureen is a great actress. And she's actually the head of Equity, British Equity. Johnny died. Legend died. And then also this more recently, this other great Scottish actor called Morris Reeves died, who was so great. And I did, remember Tutti Frutti? Mm-hmm. That thing John Byrne wrote, and he was like the sort of handsome leather-clad band member, and he was in loads of things. Anyway, he came to this lecture I did in Glasgow in December about sort of, you know, being Scottish and the Scottish theatre and everything, I knew him a little bit, and he and his wife sent me this link for his memorial service, and then also oh my God, the longer I go on with the story, the more tragic. I watched two funerals this week. I watched two funerals. Like, you can do this thing now where they have like a little camera and you watch the funeral, watch the memorial. It was so great. And I was really moved by both of them. And also were hilarious, of course. But it was just, the whole point was I looked up more things that Morris had done. He was in Oh, What a Lovely War all these great things. And he was in one of the people in the memorial talked about the fact that he was up for it. It was down to him and George Lazenby to be James Bond one time. And I just went on a Morris Reeves wormhole finding out about him. And it was just lovely actually, because I really always admired him. He was always very nice to me. Johnny was a darling, and I just felt this week that I kind of took a little time out of my life and sort of honored really great Scottish artist that I admired.
That's
lovely. And that was my wormhole of the week.
That's so lovely. Okay, let's do review of the week, Alan.
Oh, quick, yes.
Quick, pull the plaster off. you're going to choose the winner because you're so good at it. 5 stars is the first one from Eeyore's bestie. This podcast has all the feels. Hilarity? Naughtiness? Inspiring guests? Gritty subject matter? Occasional love for knitting? This podcast has all the feels. Chris and Alan are delicious cherries on top of this particular tart. Just called us a tart. I'm not LGBT or Q, but you make it clear to everyone that we are all in the same alphabet. Ah, that's lovely.
That's nice.
So, contender. 5 stars, Tim RUCW6.
Great.
5 stars, iPod Hoy. Great podcast. Both Alan and Chris are an easy listen, and the guests in this series have been insightful. Keep up the good work. Oh, that felt like a school report.
That's nice. That's basically, we've been called tarts and easy in the last two reviews.
And grateful to
the
be alive.
The public speaks. Grateful to be born. Born to be alive.
The public speaks. So, Alan, who are you going to give the prize to?
Oh, I think the person who said that nice thing about we're all part of the same alphabet. I think that's a lovely message.
Wasn't it? Eeyore's bestie.
So is that? Yeah, Eeyore's bestie. A t-shirt is coming your way.
So Eeyore's bestie, write to hello@homosapienspodcast.com. I will post you a t-shirt. I posted some out this week. Please ask for a large because that's all we've got. And small bit of housekeeping, if you've won a t-shirt, please email rather than Instagram messaging, because we get so many Instagram messages, they just fly to the bottom and I can't keep track. But if you email it, I'll tag it and then I'll post it. Wonderful.
Voila.
Let's do some anecdote roulette.
Yes.
David Beckham is one of someone's written in. David Beckham.
Oh, well, I do have a story about David Beckham.
I love this. I love that every single time you have one.
You know how I was in the Spice Girls film, Spice World, the movie?
Yes, indeed.
So I was friends with the Spice Girls and blah-de-blah. And then when Jerry left, Then they came, you know, they were on tour and Jerry wasn't in the tour. And they came to New York and I went on Spice Jet with them to Pennsylvania to do a concert somewhere. No, wow. I didn't do the concert. They did the concert, but I was sort of hanging out with them. I went on Spice Jet. It was so great. You got to eat sushi, smoke, and not wear a seatbelt. That's all I remember about that. That was my first private jet.
Sounds like driving with my grandmother.
It was. It was so great. And then, so I went to this place. It was very exciting. Did the concert. And it was right after the World Cup. Remember the World Cup when David Beckham did something and they lost a match and the country turned on him.
Yeah, because he was golden balls and then he became something balls.
Yeah, and did he do a foul and so they lost the thing? I can't remember, but anyway, he was vilified at this moment in time. And he came over, so he was there at this concert. And I remember at the sound check, the girls were doing the sound check and there was like these helicopters overhead. And they're just sort of in their jeans and just sound checking you do. And he was sitting over with Posh Spice. And Posh Spice, at the time, we didn't know this, but was pregnant. So they were very kind of, you know, she was dealing with being pregnant whilst on the tour. Anyway, I saw David Beckham look up at the helicopters, thinking they were there to kind of get a picture of him, this shamed hero. And I just saw this absolutely, like, just this, oh, this shame and fear and sadness in his face. Oh. I'll never forget it. Mm. And I just thought, I actually wanted to say, oh, darling, they're not here for you.
They're here for me, dear.
they're here for the Spices. But it was so, he's obviously was so used to being attacked and sort of hunted in that way during that time. I'll never forget that little look on his face.
That's really
sad. That's my David Beckham story. Nice boy. Love his tats.
Any other business, Alan?
Any other business? I have this interesting spray here.
What's that?
That someone sent me. It's oh my God, wait. Oh, I thought it was, oh my God. It says Boost, the light salon. And I've been spraying it on my face and I thought maybe it's for hair, just there for a minute. But it says dermatologically tested, skin neutral PM, cleansing antibacterial tonic to balance oil, blah, blah, blah. It's so nice. And it's because it's, since we've been talking, it's got, taking my glasses off, it's got rather hot. And I'm just going to finish up by giving myself a few squirts of this delicious toning spray. You ready?
So it's a toner.
Hope you can catch this on the mic.
Oh. Alan, you're melting. Oh, what's happening?
Oh, no, I did some on my chest. So it looks like I'm sweating like the gardener.
Doesn't actually lift a finger in that boiler suit. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Please remember to write to us at hello@homosapienspodcast.com.
hello@homosapienspodcast.com.
As said by our lovely announcer, Alan Cumming. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts and you can win a Homo Sapiens t-shirt posted to you by yours truly. What else is there?
Well, we could also say who's coming next week. We could also tease our viewers by saying that we've started doing the next series of interviews and very exciting people coming up. Mm-hmm. Can't say. It's very exciting. And our theme, can we say our theme?
I think we should keep that a secret as well.
Okay. You're not getting to know anything about it.
Yeah.
So this is it. We're wrapping up now.
We are wrapping up. And Alan, do you want to tease with another absolute 10 out of 10 icon we've got for next week's show?
I love teasing. I'm going to do this. I'll do an oral tease and you can do the actual word.
Laurie.
Yeah, you do the words.
Anderson is our guest this week, next week, even. I mean,
oh, Laurie Anderson.
She is a 70s artist icon and performance artist, right?
Oh, Laurie Anderson. I hope people get that reference. It'd be tragic if they just thought I was sort of hyperventilating.
I think they're going to think we've lost our mind, aren't they?
Anyway, Laurie Anderson, the fabulous musician and performance artist and just an incredible person, incredible, wise, lovely, hilarious, gentle woman, is our guest next week. And it was really such a treat to be able to sit down with her and just probe her, as it were.
She's a Buddhist and she is a... she meditates a lot. And it was the closest I've ever felt to like coming near to a Zen master. She's just,
oh my God,
incredible.
Yeah.
I learned a lot.
I was so zenny afterwards.
Yeah,
Yeah.
So please tune in next week, everybody.
Get zened out. I get zened out, but I get up again. I get zened out.
What a soothing song.
I'm all about
song.
Appropriating songs that we'll have to pay money for.
Never send a bill. It's fine.
They never. Who cares? Although I have to say, drama. I will just finish up with this.
Please.
I had my Vimeo account cancelled.
So
like, I'm no longer a member. Did you?
Yesterday.
I heard it last week because at my third strike, because something you put things up there and for some music in the background, this is the culture we live in, the way that lawyers have just... Anyway, I'm not going to go there, but I just think lawyers need to back off. Anyway, the annoying thing is my last thing, why they closed down my account was a show in 2000, 20 years ago, that was up on somewhere on my Vimeo account, on my website, of me, a series of interviews. But one of them was me talking about the Spice Girls, something that I'd been asked to do by the Spice Girls. And Wannabe was playing in the background. And because of that, the licensing lawyers said that they said it had to be taken down. And because it's my third thing, I got my whole Vimeo account shut down. No. Now, do you think that's right?
I don't.
Viewers. I just think that's like, I was asked by the Spice Girls, do they put their music in the background? No, I'm being punished.
If you want to protest, head to alancumming.com/shop and vote with your vote with your PayPal account.
Wallet.
Yeah.
I think in that case we should get Jerry Spice on here to just talk about this.
Yeah, we want answers.
Let's get a Spice Girl on to, you know, face the music.
Yeah, it's going to be
except
like...
there'll be no music, because if we have music, we'll be sued.
It's going to be like the Cook Report.
Yeah. What about why did you get your Vimeo account?
Well, if you're a music video director, you've obviously got music on your videos.
Same thing.
And then the record company gets in touch saying, you've stolen
That's
this.
It.
And I'm like, I haven't stolen it, it's my work.
Yeah, I know, assholes. I just think it's a thing. I just think maybe it's something to discuss next week. Lawyers have taken over the world.
Yeah. Tune in.
And, you know, that was quite nice. I was in a TV show about lawyers for a long time. And I, you know, that's why I have a nice house. But apart from that, I think they're awful. Apart from your mother-in-law, of course, and Helen McCrory.
Tune in. And my husband. Tune in next week.
And your
week.
Husband. Oh, my God.
Tune in next week.
I better
week
go now.
Alan will be hosting on his own. All right.
There'll be a lawyer. There'll be a lawyer in Chris's seat.
Yeah.
Goodbye, everybody. Sorry to ramble. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Powered by Spirit Studios.